This is the Detroit City Cast with Dan Leach, presented by Bet Rivers.
And welcome in, fine citizens. Happy Throwdown Thursday here on the Detroit City Cast, brought to you by our great friends at Bet Rivers. And boy, we got a huge weekend ahead of us. Been destroying it with the U.S. Open. We got Michigan and Michigan State on Friday and Saturday night. We're getting closer to the Lions season. And my girl, one of the best in the business, one of my favorite people both professionally and personally, the angel of the big house, Angelique Shengelis, the beat writer for the Michigan Wolverines for the Detroit News, will join us in just a little bit. We got a lot to discuss and get into. The quarterback situation, expectations, the brand new coordinators, all things Michigan football coming up next here on the Detroit CityCast. Before we get into the betting window, just want to talk about the Detroit Tigers and how this season has been obviously one of incredible frustration. But, you know, I've been thinking a lot about this, and I think that next season could be a lot better than a lot of you might think out there. And of course, September is going to be very frustrating. I know that Torkelson's coming back up, and, you know, maybe there'll be some nice moments throughout September just to be able to cheer for the team. But with some of the young talent, and if they find the right new general manager, I think this team would, you know, if they don't get so banged up like they did this season, things could be a lot different. And also Serena Williams, what an incredible performance against Connaughton in the second round. You know, she did it on Monday night against a much inferior opponent, and then against the number two ranked player in the world, the number two seed, who's obviously had her own injury issues with long COVID. Serena Williams finds a way after playing brilliantly at times in the first set, but giving up some breaks and then winning in that tiebreak, playing some really bad tennis at times in the second, and then just smoking her in the third in front of Tiger Woods and her sister Venus and Spike Lee and all these great celebrities. Just an incredible atmosphere at Arthur Ashe Stadium. She is the GOAT. I think she's the greatest tennis player of all time. She might be in the top three or four greatest athletes of all time. And she is not ready to say goodbye yet. And if you've been following my U.S. Open picks, I sure hope you have. We're going to have some picks for you coming up in just a second. You had Serena Williams. I gave her to you plus 198. And then actually I took her live at plus 260 before the third set. So I was actually out playing poker last night. And I had a couple people thank me that had seen the play that I gave them. But we are now 4-1 overall. We did have our first individual match losses last night with Fernandez going down and just a very poor performance by her against Samsonova. And then Felix, my man Felix, was just terrible against the rising 21-year-old Jack Draper from Great Britain. But we're 4-1 overall, 14-2-1 overall match record. And listen, I know some of those are favorites, but not too shabby. There's been a lot of upsets, including Tsitsipas, who was almost minus $2,000 favorite, actually more than that, in the first round. So got a couple plays for you that we'll get to in a minute, but let's head into the Motown betting window, and it's brought to you by our great friends at Bet Rivers, and you kick off college football with Bet Rivers Online Sportsbook. Join Bet Rivers every Saturday of the college football season for a 20% parlay profit boost of at least three legs. With new promotions and props every day, Bet Rivers is your go-to sportsbook. Download the Bet Rivers app or go to BetRivers.com today. It's a whole new game. Must be 21. Playable in Michigan only. Gambling problem, call 800-270-7117. I will have some plays for you when it comes to college football in just a minute. But as we mentioned, the Tigers, just a very, very rough season. It's tough to even talk about them at times, but of course I'm going to bring them up here on the Detroit CityCast. We're all about Detroit sports. They do lose to the Mariners. They actually played decently well for the majority of this game. Gonzalez moves to 10-12, by the way, with the win with a 3.99 ERA. Ling gets the loss. He's 4-4 with a 4.21 ERA. Tigers go down 5-3, and now they will wrap up this series with the forward-thinking, playoff-thinking Mariners. Later on today, 1:10 p.m. Eastern start here in the Motor City. It's Gilbert for Seattle. He's 10-5, one of their best pitchers with a 3.49 ERA. And Rodriguez back for the Tigers, 3-3 with a 3.60 ERA. Remember, he came off that personal situation list, so he's he pitched decent the last time he was out. It's the Mariners and Bet Rivers minus 165, a total 7.5. Definitely no play for me on this game, but I will always give you the line. And if there's something that I like in this game, I definitely will tell you. I just, as I mentioned for the last several weeks, really no trust for the Tigers whatsoever. I just don't think you don't have to bet just to bet. It's not worth it. And to me, if there's something that really stands out to me, maybe the Tigers is a huge underdog where I like him at a certain spot with a starting pitcher for the Tigers, or I like a total or an under, an over or under, I'll let you know. But I just really, as I've been looking at these games, there's just no value right now. I know the Tigers look good for a couple games against Texas, and then they got their asses kicked by Seattle in game number one off of that, you know, kind of offensive explosion for three games against the Rangers. And then, you know, they played a hearty game last night, but in the end, Seattle too much. So no play for me when it comes to the Tigers. Let's take a look at the latest lines for both Michigan and Michigan State. And as I mentioned, I do have some plays for your 1-0 on the year. I gave you Northwestern plus 10.5 last week. Actually closed at 12.5, but I gave it out to you at 10.5, so we'll go with that line. But they won outright. But let's take a look at Michigan State and Western Michigan. This line was 17.5 like 8-9 days ago. And it steadily has moved up. It had a big move about 5 days ago. We are now looking at Michigan State, 22.5 point favorites. Both sides minus 110. The Spartans minus 3,335 on the money line. The win, the money line for Western Michigan is plus 1,100. Total's been very steady. Even though the majority of the money is on the over, we're seeing more juice on the under. 54.5, over minus 109, under minus 112. And we have like 80-plus percent of the money and the tickets on Michigan State. I have no opinion on this game. If I change my mind, I'll give it out to you tomorrow on our first Football Friday show of the year. But to me, I think Michigan State should win this game fairly easily, but it's a game one. Western Michigan does have some ability to score some points for Tim Lester, but this should be basically a blowout. But, you know, backdoor covers, first game of the season, in-state team. I'm staying away from it as of now. I don't like it at 17.5. I definitely don't like it at 22.5. And I definitely like Western Michigan plus the points at 17.5. I still don't like them plus the points at 22.5. By the way, Eastern Michigan will get it going on Friday night, tomorrow night with Eastern Kentucky. Well, Eastern Michigan could be a MAC contender this year, and they had a chance to do it last year. Maybe this is finally the year for Chris Creighton. They're 13.5 point favorites over the Colonels, minus 125. Eastern Kentucky plus 13.5, even money at Bet Rivers. Eastern Michigan money line minus 670. Eastern Kentucky plus 450. And the total 57.5, over minus 110, under minus 110. No opinion on that game as well, but I do believe Eastern will roll on that one. And then when it comes to Michigan and Colorado State, we saw this line at 27.5 last week, and then over about a 12-hour period, it went all the way up to 30.5, and we saw some 31.5s. But guess what? There's some money coming back on Colorado State. We're seeing some sharp money once it got past 30 back on the Colorado State Rams. It is now Michigan minus 30 at Bet Rivers minus 112, and Colorado State plus 30 minus 109, minus 10,000 for the Wolverines on the money line. That's a cheap price for you. Colorado State plus 1,600, and the total now up to 61.5. We saw a precipitous move on that as well from 57.58. Now it's over 61.5 minus 112, under 61.5 minus 109. For me, the one play, and I've given you a lot of Michigan first halves. I am considering taking the Wolverines in a first half play because Harbaugh has had an incredible win rate when it's come to first half totals. And we're not going to probably have that total or that first half number until tomorrow on the Fantastic or the Football Friday show. But that could be, you know, if it's 17 or so, I think that that might be the way to go in this game. I'm not taking Michigan minus 30.5. They should roll Colorado State. But once again, first game of the season. And obviously, I don't really have an opinion on the total. I've told you before that if you like a big favorite, you would want to lean on the over. If you like a big underdog, you'd want to lean on the under. And in this game, if you're taking the Wolverines, you've got to go over the 61.5. But Michigan might win this game 45-10. And, you know, Michigan covers, but they don't go over. So it's a stay away for me. Maybe a live bet this game. If somehow Colorado State goes up a touchdown early and Michigan's minus 20 instead of 30. Because I think in the end, Michigan is going to just be way too much for this Rams team that does not have a lot of talent and was terrible last year. They do have a new coach. And things can change in a year when you have a new coaching staff. But it's a stay away from me as of now. And, you know, I'll obviously post all my plays on Twitter as well, that if things add on closer to the weekend at Dan Leach 97.1. I know some of you follow me on there just for plays sometimes, but hopefully you're listening to the show and following me for plays. Now, I do like a couple games coming up tonight. There's a couple tricky ones, but it's going to be half-unit plays because it's not anything really sexy to me. But I'm looking at this Pittsburgh-West Virginia game. Obviously, no Kenny Pickett in Pittsburgh anymore. You're getting 7 and a hook with West Virginia. They've got some talent on defense. They can slow the game down, plus 7.5, minus the 113. I've got a half unit play on the Mountaineers against Pittsburgh. And then this is something actually my dad loves. And most times he's getting the plays from me. But I do think there is some value in Central Michigan with the way they can run the ball, plus the 22 right now. At Bet Rivers, Oklahoma State minus 22, minus 112. Central plus 22, minus 109. I think Central can hang in this game. Plus 22 is the number. Give me a half unit on Central Michigan. And, of course, the U.S. Open. As I mentioned, we're 4-1 overall. We've had a bunch of parlays. Some of the, obviously, early round lines are just huge favorites. But in the match, the overall matches we've given out, 14-2-1. We finally had our first losses last night, as I mentioned, with Fernandez and Felix. I still can't believe FAA went down as hard as it did to Draper. Draper's a great player and a great run at Wimbledon, but this is one of the top 10 players in the world, FAA, and believe me, he was grounded, pun intended, in that one. By the way, you can log in every day for a 20% profit boost on the U.S. Open. Here are the plays for today. I have a one-unit, three-leg parlay with Pegula, former major champion Kvitova, and Herkaz. I like them all together. It pays you a plus 126, so a unit on them, and also one unit on my man, Brandon Nakashima. I think that he can take down Gregor Dimitrov. Dimitrov has not been playing, you know, at the highest level consistently. He's had some injury issues. You know, you're getting Brandon. I know this line is kind of volleyballing between plus 122, plus 115 or so at Bet Rivers. I got it at plus 122, but I like anything above even money on Brandon Nakashima, and I think that he might take a first set lead in this one, and you're going to have minus money. So if you're thinking about maybe betting it live and seeing what happens in the first set, I think Nakashima is going to win the first set, but I like him in this matchup in his home tournament against Grigor Dimitrov. So I like Nakashima for one unit play and a one unit three leg parlay with Jessica Pegula, Petra Kvitova, and Herkaz. That'll pay you plus 126. So there you go. There are my U.S. Open plays of the day. And taking a look at the Lions. The Lions opening spread. We're getting closer and closer. By the way, Bills-Rams coming up next Thursday. It's the Bills at Bet Rivers minus 2.5, minus 110 each way, minus 139 for the Bills on the money line. Rams and Matthew Stafford plus 115. The total 52.5, both sides minus 110. And there'll be a lot of special bonuses and promos for at Bet Rivers for the NFL season as well. So always keep you abreast of all that. And the Eagles right now still a 4-point favorite. Not really much movement on this the last few days. Eagles minus 4. Against the Lions, minus 108. Lions plus 4, minus 113. Eagles money line, minus 200. Lions plus 163. And the total, 48.5. Over, minus 109. Under, minus 112. We're going to have a full breakdown on that coming up next week. And also, a crossover episode with my man, Ryan Rothstein, the host of the Philadelphia CityCast. That's going to be a lot of fun. Lions have been a great cover team, even though they've been bad, of course, at the end of the Patricia era. But last year, they covered a ton of home games for Dan Campbell. I'm definitely leading Lions plus 4. I think the Lions have a chance to win this thing outright. We'll see. Hopefully there's no major injury issues heading into game week. We'll talk a lot more about that coming up next week as well. All right, that's a trip to the Motown betting window brought to you by our great friends at Bet Rivers. Coming up next, the Angel of the Big House and all things Michigan Wolverines as we get set for the season just about 48 or so hours away. That is next on the Throwdown Thursday edition of the Detroit CityCast brought to you by Bet Rivers. Kick off football season with Bet Rivers Online Sportsbook. All season long, Bet Rivers is your go-to sportsbook for all football-related content. Check out BetRivers.com or download the Bet Rivers app for the latest odds, unique promotions, player props, and more. Every week, Bet Rivers has unique football specials to help you win big. Cheer on your favorite teams and back your favorite players with Bet Rivers. It's a whole new game. Must be 21, playable in Michigan only. Gambling problem, call 1-800-270-7117. And here she is, one of the greatest people, and of course journalists as well, the Angel of the Big House, Detroit news beat writer for the Michigan Wolverines, and one of my just, you know, favorite people on earth, Angelique Chagallis. It is so great to see you as always, but we got football in a few days, so this is like, it's like Christmas and Hanukkah wrapped into one.
But don't forget, we have the U.S. Open that you and I both enjoy watching. So it's like a smorgasbord of of sports and the games, you know, coming up starting Thursday night. It's going to be, I mean, the football games plus the tennis. I mean, you and I are living the dream right now.
It doesn't get any better. And I love I'm not saying there's not other people in this media, you know, area that respect and like tennis, but it seems like you and I are two of the biggest ones. And it's just such a beautiful sport. And we were talking before, you know, we started the interview today about Serena and what that was like on Monday night. That was one of, I mean, you covered a lot of incredible things. I mean, I have as well, but I'll tell you, that was one of the coolest things I've ever seen. The whole setup and everyone going out there and just the noise to support Serena's final run at the U.S. Open on Monday.
It was really incredible, Dan, and all the celebrities who were there. I do think Serena was like, what is all this? And I think as an athlete, she was thinking, right, okay, I need to prepare for my second round match. Let's get this going. But, I mean, she loved the moment. It was a great moment. And, you know, it was great to see Billie Jean King on court. And all the respect that Serena's getting is so well-deserved. And really want to, I want to see her make a deep run into this tournament. I mean, her second round match is going to be tough, but it's been cool. And I've been to the U.S. Open twice, and I was lucky enough to go to Wimbledon this summer, and that just blew my mind. But the U.S. Open is such a different atmosphere. It's so rowdy. It's New York, you know. It's just New York in a tennis environment, and it's so cool. And I thought it really, that Monday night with Serena really captured that.
Two things, the two bucket list things, Angelique, and I know I've been lucky in my career so far to be able to go to or cover many amazing things. I've never been to U.S. Open. I've never been to Wimbledon. Wimbledon, probably more than anything, is on my bucket list, number one in the Masters. So it's incredible. By the way, two other things on Serena. No one else could have pulled off coming out with a cape on center court. That was on Arthur Ashe Stadium court. And how about the story about Billie Jean? I don't know my credential. I think you'll be all right. The whole tennis center's named after you, Billie. That was awesome. Just an incredible thing. So I love that we love tennis, and it is, as we said, this incredible time of year. And let's talk about this Michigan team. And right off the bat, and I've talked about this on my show, Angelique, and I'm really looking forward to seeing how you feel about this. I think what Jim Harbaugh did, and I know some out there are saying, oh, make a decision. If you don't have two, you don't have zero. You know, what Jim Harbaugh did with the starting quarterback scenario with Cade McNamara getting his own game against Colorado State and J.J. McCarthy getting his own game against Hawaii, I think it's perfect because, yes, you've got to make a decision eventually, but Michigan, you know, has four pretty easy games to start their schedule. They each get their own game to start. It doesn't alienate either one of them. They each can manage, you know, their games the way they need to do it. And then after those first two games, you make a decision. I think it's, to be honest, one of the better things that Jim Harbaugh could have done.
I don't have a problem with it. And you're right, Dan. There are people who are saying, you know, just pick one. And Harbaugh has a couple times in this preseason talked about, I mean, he's really dismissed that cliche that if you have two, you don't have one. And he said they really do have two, and they are neck and neck, McNamara and McCarthy. And you know, I asked Kirk Herbstreit about it on a conference call this week, and he said the same thing. You know, this is unconventional, but the way the schedule sets up, it allows for this. And as a quarterback, like Herbstreit was, and he said he thinks Harbaugh's thinking this way as a quarterback, you want to have a whole game to get the rhythm of the game, and you've got to deal with the ups and the downs, and you know, you got to get used to seeing defenses, and he thought that this was a perfect way to handle it in that sense. Look, I mean, Dan, I think this could go on for even beyond the two games.
Right.
I mean, at some point, I agree, he's got to settle on one. But I do think it'll be like last year. Whoever's the starter, the backup is going to play. And I don't know how much, but I think that the backup will get playing time. I don't think it's not going to be Brady Henson part two, but it's going to be really interesting to see how this plays out. I'm looking forward to it because all we hear is that you know, Cade and JJ have had great camps, and Harbaugh said Cade's not getting a demotion, but it's definitely a promotion for JJ.
Yeah, like I said, I know some will say if you have two, you have zero. But to me, if you have two great quarterbacks, it's better than having one great quarterback. Now, what do you say to the, and I think this is kind of silly, and we know how fans can get, and this is kind of just a total fan take, in my opinion, where people are saying that the only reason Harbaugh's doing this is he doesn't want, you know, J.J. McCarthy to transfer. Neither of these guys are transferring the week before the season, Angelique. I think that's just crazy talk.
Well, I don't, not at this point, but I do think it's something that's has to be in the back of Jim Harbaugh's mind. I mean, he doesn't want to lose either one of them. You know, you're looking at J.J. McCarthy, who's a five-star. He's come into this program, and he has done all the right things. So has Cade McNamara. I mean, he's come in, and they're very different personalities, but they're both handling their jobs in the same way with, I think, some real grace and toughness. But, you know, at some point, with the transfer portal the way it is and that kind of free pass that you get now, you don't have to sit the year, I do think that's something that's on his mind, Jim Harbaugh's mind, and has to be on every coach in America's mind. I mean, how do they really balance things? It was a luxury in the past where, you know, we know those stories about Lloyd Carr pushing transfer papers to different players as a way to push their buttons and to get them motivated to stay and work. But nowadays, I mean, a player can easily say, okay, I'm out of here. And there's nothing to say that JJ or Cade won't do that. And I think that this is a way for Jim Harbaugh to say, you're both getting a very equal chance. You both get a chance to show us what you can do. And he's more than willing to let this go for a while. So I think it's probably in there a little bit, Dan, but not his biggest focus.
Right, of course. And listen, as great as J.J. McCarthy is, we've seen it on the field and the upside, and obviously he's the future. Cade McNamara got them to the playoff last year, beat Ohio State, first Big Ten title since 2003, so you can't forget about that. And to take it a step further, Angelique, you know, being around the team so far, and I know that, you know, with college, the media doesn't get the kind of access they do with the NFL, but you being the angel of the big house, you get special access. That being said, what has been the feel for you? We know this team lost a lot on defense, obviously with Ojabo and Dax Hill and Aiden Hutchinson, who I take Aiden Hutchinson 5-1 to win Rookie of the Defense Rookie of the Year, by the way, if you want a free play today. But, you know, we know that the defense might have some question marks about who's going to fill those gaps. We know the offense looks like it's going to be really, really good, and we'll see how the quarterback thing shakes itself out. But the feel you've got around this team coming off the incredible year last year, I've looked at a lot of different metrics that I follow for people to put together power ratings, and obviously we know it's all on paper right now. I'm seeing people that I respect have Michigan as a top four team. I know it's the preseason, but people can't forget there's still a tremendous amount of talent there. What's the kind of feel you've gotten around fall camp so far?
I think top four is a little extreme right now, and I had to do my game-by-game predictions, and I really wanted to find a second loss, and I really hemmed and hawed. They could lose at Iowa in their first road game of the season. They could lose to Penn State. I mean, they could... I suspect Maryland's offense will give Michigan's defense some problems in game four in the Big Ten opener. I mean, and obviously going into Columbus is tough, but you know, that's not your question ultimately. It's what's the feeling, and the vibe is they really want to prove, they think that they've heard. I don't know that a lot of people have called last year's performance a fluke, but you know, players hear what they want to hear to help motivate them. And they've talked about proving Michigan's season wasn't a fluke. They all know that with Aiden Hutchinson and David Ojabo, with their departures, you know, that's 25 sacks. And right. I don't think anybody's saying that they're going to replace those guys. And you get the sense talking to these guys, like Mazi Smith has really become a vocal leader for this team and saying, look, it's not going to go through two guys. It's going to go through all 11. They've talked about obnoxious communication on defense where they're just constantly talking, and you know, they seem to feel like they've got very good chemistry on defense. It's just you know, we got to see this defense put to the test. I don't know that you're going to see it these first couple games, but finding some guys in the secondary who can do what Dax Hill did, I don't know, that's going to be hard to do too. But I think they have to get away from this notion of they have to replace those guys. They have to find a way to mesh as 11 and be their own defense. And I think they're going to be good. I don't know how good, but I think they're going to be good on defense, Dan.
Yeah, and I'll tell you this, with all the different scenarios, you know, that they have to deal with, as we talked about, like, you know, having to recover from losing some of the best players that went out in the draft last year, to have a schedule to start they have, obviously, is an opportune thing. But how about the other situation? We see teams lose coordinators all the time. But to lose both coordinators, and obviously you bring in Sharon Moore and Matt Weiss, or they're named the co-offensive coordinators, and then obviously, you know, you look at Jesse Minter as the D coordinator. I mean, once again, they've got – at least to me, three very easy games to start. They'll be massive favorites. They might be a 50-point favorite over Hawaii, who just lost it over by 53 to Vanderbilt. But then, of course, as you mentioned, Maryland's offense could test them with Tua's younger brother. That being said, though, to replace both coordinators, what has been kind of the feel about that so far?
It's been pretty seamless on defense. I mean, Jesse Minter, who was a defensive coordinator at Vanderbilt last year, worked with Mike McDonald on the Ravens staff. McDonald's now the defensive coordinator there. So they speak the same language, and they speak the same scheme. And so the players who have come back on defense say it's been the same. I mean, there have been little tweaks here and there, but they understand the language. That hasn't changed. And it's just a different guy running the show. They all like Jesse Minter and what he brings to the table. They all love the fact that Steve Klingscale is back for a second season. He's a co-defensive coordinator, coaches in the defensive secondary, and the players just love that guy. And, you know, I think on the offensive side, that's still, to me, a little more curious. I mean, that's where I kind of use that. If you have two offensive coordinators, do you have one? And it's going to be really interesting to see how those two work together. Sherrone Moore is coaching the offensive line. Matt Weiss is coaching the quarterbacks. Harbaugh said it will be a collaborative process. I'm not sure what that means. I mean, one person, I believe, has to call the plays. I'm putting my money on Sherrone Moore. And I know people talk about Matt Weiss and his quote-unquote genius. But I think Sherrone Moore is a guy who really gets it. And not that Matt Weiss doesn't, but you know he's done so well coaching the offensive line, a position he played in college, and he knows how to communicate with these guys. He understands what this offense is doing. You know, he was there with Josh Gattis last year as a co. He didn't call the plays or anything like that, but he learned what the process is like. So I think that's going to help him. But it is going to be interesting. I mean, but they sure have a lot of weapons on offense to work with. So I'm going to be really curious how they concoct game plans every week to, you know, make sure everybody, I mean, I don't think they don't go set out to make everybody happy, but everybody on that offense wants to touch the ball, and they've got a lot of great skill players. So I think that's going to be really fun to watch how they do that.
100%. And, you know, speaking of one of those guys who wants to touch the ball, it's Ronnie Bell. And great to have him back. And what have we seen from him so far leading into the season?
Oh, he's been better than he was before. I've heard that from everybody. I mean, even early in camp, people were texting me, been to practice, saying Ronnie Bell. And you know, he was determined to get better, and he even said, you know, you've got a year off to rehab. If you're not better when you come back, then what were you doing all this time? And you know, he was voted a captain last year, so that sort of rolls over to this year. So he's one of the five, and I think he is a real leader of this team. And you saw that Aiden Hutchinson was last year. Everybody saw how vocal he was. I think Ronnie's got that, not the same command, but he does have leadership of this team. So he's a very vital part of not only the offense, but the team as a whole. And he wants to be back returning punts again. That's where he got hurt last year. I mean, he said without hesitation, he wants to be back there. So I expect big things from him. I mean, he led the team in receiving in 19 and 20. So fully expected to see that last year. Now he gets to do it this year.
Yeah, I'm telling you, Angelique, that offense, I mean, we know that, I got a question for you on the defense in a second here, but that offense, Donovan Edwards, you know, maybe a kind of a sexy deep Heisman candidate, played core. We know what he did last year. You know, we just talked about Ronnie Bell, you know, Johnson, Wilson. That offense could be one of the best offenses in the country. And if the defense can play at a high level, Michigan maybe, I know, I'm not trying to say that I agree that of those kind of metric people that I follow and respect that they're a top four team strength of schedule wise and you know, talent wise, but maybe Michigan can be what they were last year, maybe not as good as Ohio State right away, but this could be a really exciting year for the Wolverines when some thought it would be maybe a step back.
Oh, sure. I mean, you look at this offensive line, to me, it's definitely an upgrade from last year. And again, it's not to take anything away from Andrew Vistardis, but Olu Oluwatimi is an upgrade at center. I mean, this guy was a Remington finalist. He's enormous. From what everybody says, he's a freak. You know, they like to throw that around because he is just big and strong and agile. And
super freak.
And he learned the playbook very quickly. I mean, he got there in January, and he was way ahead of the curve going into spring ball. And you've got Trent A. Jones now at right tackle, and you got Carson Barnhart, who's the sixth, who could, either one of those guys could start at right tackle. So I think they feel really good about that. Then you add Eric All and Luke Schoonmaker in at tight end. I mean, I think Eric All is, I think he's, I really think he's going to have a big season.
I agree.
But it all totally comes agree. Back to who's going to be quarterbacking. And at some point, you know, do you look at the upside of J.J. McCarthy? He's a guy who everyone thinks, you know, he's got the big arm. He's got the mobility. He can make these big plays and take advantage of the speed of these receivers. But that's some high risk, high reward. And then you've got Cade McNamara, who, from all accounts, has also improved his game, worked on his footwork. A lot of the players have talked about, they keep saying, don't rest on Cade's speed. They think he's a little shiftier than people give him credit for. But is he capable of making those big throws and taking advantage of the speed? So I think it's really, in the end, it's going to come down to who's quarterbacking, who's taking advantage of all this talent, because there is a lot there. And, you know, I think Blake Corum's going to have a big season. So's Donovan. They don't have a Hassan Haskins. And Dan, I think that's a big deal, that they don't have that kind of back yet. I think C.J. Stokes, a freshman, probably will be a guy who'll step in that kind of role. Tavier Dunlap, maybe. But I think Stokes is a guy to watch for.
Yeah, lots of different possibilities in that offense. It should be a lot of fun. And speaking of the defense, you mentioned Mazi Smith kind of being the vocal leader, you know, which we know Hutch was last year. But could you give it's one player or two players that maybe fans out there should look at, and maybe they're going to kind of surprise them right away? Is it a Jalen Harrell on the edge? Is it Junior Colson, the redshirt freshman? On defense, who could be that next guy that, you know, no one knew who David Ojabo was. The average fan didn't know who he was before last year. Obviously, people knew who Hutchinson was. But maybe who is that next player or two that could step up and make that defense be as close to as good as they were last year?
Well, you mentioned two of them. I really think that Colson and Harrell are two guys to watch for. I think a guy who I thought he really had some moments last season, and I think that he's just gonna have a very solid year is Chris Jenkins. I think he's they were joking that his nickname is Mutant because he is deceptively fast and deceptively strong, and I really think he's gonna have a big year. Mike Morris, you know, I'm curious. He's got that energy, kind of like Aiden had last year. He's got the physique. Does he have it? I think that's something we're going to find out pretty soon in these early games. You know, how much does he bring to the table? And I suspect he's going to have a solid year as well. But I think the names that you've mentioned, and I still think at some point Will Johnson's going to emerge in the defensive secondary. But I think that they've got some good pieces back there as well. And don't rest on special teams, Dan. I think that's still...
You can't rest on the third phase. It's sometimes the most important phase.
Absolutely.
Angelique, I know you mentioned that you haven't done your game-by-games yet, but I gotta throw it out there, the total right now, the win total. I think both Michigan and Michigan State's win totals at Bet Rivers are right where they should be. It's Michigan State 7.5 and the Wolverines 9.5. I mean, to me, I think the Wolverines are going to be at least a 10-win team. I think they could lose to Iowa, lose to Ohio State, and if they lose to Michigan State at home, don't, you know, talk to me for 3 weeks. But to you, where do you think it's at? I know you're still going to do your game-by-game, but to me, I think that win total at Bet Rivers 9.5 and where it's at pretty much everywhere is exactly where it should be. Could the Wolverines be 12-0? Sure. Is there a great chance of that? Probably not. Could they win 11? Yeah. Could they win 8 or 9? Absolutely. It's right in that range. I think it's right where it should be at 9.5. What do you see?
I think that's fair, and I did waffle. I'm looking at that Iowa game, and the biggest threat is playing a Kinnick. I mean, Michigan has struggled there
right.
The last four games.
Those stupid pig locker rooms.
Yeah, yes, that too. And, you know, I've talked to players, you know, older Michigan players, and they just, you know, it's the fact that those fans are right on top of you, and a couple of them said that those guys get very educated, and they heckle things that really are, they've researched well. So it gets in their heads when they hear it. And, but you know, that Iowa offense is still not very good and the defense is superb, but I just don't know if that Iowa offense has what it takes. But again, we don't know what Michigan's defense is going to be like. So I've been waffling on that one. You know, Michigan State, Tucker and that the Spartans have won those last two games. And is it a mental block thing with Michigan now? I mean, at least they addressed it at Big Ten Media Days like they did the Ohio State rivalry last year, and they talked very openly about it. And that's not why they beat Ohio State, but maybe it is. Maybe they, you know, they were like a little more relaxed about sharing that they care about Ohio State and prepare for them every day. And now they're talking about Michigan State. Like, they know that's a top priority to beat Michigan State. But again, I mean, it's even before Tucker, I mean, D'Antonio, they prepared so well for that game. So, yeah, I mean, I could see them, you know, winning 11. I could see them, you know, about 9-11 wins, I think, is fair. And, you know, I'd say Michigan State, I'd say 9-10 wins are perfectly feasible, too. They got a tougher schedule, but that's definitely feasible.
Do we think that Iowa game is going to be a night game? That's kind of the way I'm feeling right now.
You know, I thought so, but then I was talking to people who cover Iowa, and they were thinking it would be like an 11 a.m. Central start. So that would make it a little – I think that would be play in Michigan's favor.
Yeah, for sure.
I think looking at Michigan's schedule – I mean, obviously Hawaii is a night – Hawaii, how did I say that? Hawaii is a night game. But I still think people want to say Penn State. I've been saying Michigan State all along will be.
Yeah, that's. I think if Michigan State's the home game at night for sure. That's the way I thought for a while.
Yeah, because I think Penn State and Ohio State play that day, and that'll probably be the Fox noon game. So I definitely see Michigan State at night game, which I mean that just makes it
doesn't get any better.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I think that's a great stage. That's a game I would want to see at night versus Penn State.
Yeah, I just have one request. No troubles with snaps in that Michigan State game. Please. Angelique, you're talking to you is always the best. I can't thank you enough for your time. I can't wait to see you, you know, throughout the season and all the great coverage you provide. Before we get out of here, though, since we are tennis aficionados, who do you like on the women's side to win it all? I told you, I've got my girl Coco Gauff. I know you love her too. Got her at 14-1. Now she's down to like 8-1. Can she finally get it done, or is it going to be what we've had like all these different women's champions at majors for the last basically 3 years? No one can keep the number one ranking. What do you think happens at the U.S. Open?
I like Coco. I like your pick of Coco Gauff. And the 2 days I went to Wimbledon, you can queue and try to get tickets for center court. Was able to do that the second day. Ugh. I got to see Coco Gauff on center court, and that was really quite a thrill.
That's just so awesome.
It really was great, and I really am a Coco Gauff believer. I think she is, you know, she's gotten older now. I mean, she's not old, but she's definitely understanding the mental aspects of the game better, and I think, and that's, you know, something that Serena has always been. Her mental toughness has always been just like unbelievable, and I think Coco has that ability, and I would really like to see your prediction come true, because I think she'd be a terrific champion.
Yeah, listen, it's not like when you go on a major run when you're 15, she's obviously not old, but it seems like she's old because it was 3 years ago.
She just graduated from high school.
Unbelievable. Angelique, thanks so much as always. Please follow Angelique on Twitter at Shengalis. And hopefully, I told you, I got 5 tailgates for your opening day. You can come to any one of them. I'll be on my scooter. I'm going to scoot by and try to find you. But you're just the best. And thanks so much for everything.
Thanks, Dan. I love doing this. So thanks for having me on.
Thanks as always to Angelique Shengalis. She is the best. Please follow her on Twitter at Shengalis. Can't wait to see all her great coverage throughout the season. Hopefully I get to see her again in Indy and in Miami, or obviously, you know, different sites now for the college football playoffs than there were last year. I got to hang out with her at all those sites as Michigan went on their incredible run. Just love her on a personal level, but she's so good at what she does. So please check out her work at, obviously, detnews.com and at Shengalis on Twitter. That's going to do it for us here today. We'll see you tomorrow for the first Football Friday show of the season. Full selections for the weekend. We'll see what you know. My feelings are about Michigan and Michigan State. I'm not just going to make a pick, but I'll let you know what I think is going to happen in those games if I don't give you an official selection. We got big games all weekend long, including Notre Dame and Ohio State. Could the Buckeyes get off to a terrible start? We'll get into all that coming up tomorrow on our first Football Friday show of the year, and then we'll have those every Friday for the next several months. I can't wait, and I can't believe that football is finally back. Until next time, keep reaching for the stars, believe in the dream. Dan Leach, the Squatch, out!